Welcome back into You're the Cure, right here, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, Veritas Medical. Of course, Veritas Medical, you can always check us out at the website, veritasmedical.com. Our telephone number at the clinic, 771-1160. That's 771-1160. Good morning, Dr. Edwards. Glad to have you back on the show. Health coach Melody Wilkes, too.
Hello.
Hey, what's up? I don't know you. Oh, yeah, I do know you. Oh, that's right. You're so goofy, I know.
Good morning, Wade.
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Glad
How are
to
you?
See you back on the show.
Thank you.
Of course, along the way, if you have any questions for the good doctor, feel free to give us a call throughout the broadcast. Feel free to do so. Or you can text in your comment as well at 806-745-5800. Let's take the first phone call this morning, and good morning. Welcome into the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
He might want to address sometime. Atrial fibrillation heart. What's the new thing, sir? Can they fix it? And the way I understood it is like your timing chain in the car. And what about a pacemaker? And I'll hang up and thank you for taking my call.
Okay, so it was like a pacemaker. What do you think about that? And how can you correct things of the heart, I guess? Maybe, is she talking referring to plaque? Is that what y'all
I don't know. This
heard?
Headset wasn't good. I couldn't
Okay,
hear
can y'all hear now?
I can hear now. I didn't hear the first part of that, but I'll wing it. Pacemakers, typically, I mean, we all have a pacemaker. God gave us one. So we have our natural God-given pacemaker. That's the place where you initiate the electrical charges that will travel through the nerves that innervate your heart muscle, so the heart muscle will squeeze. So it's a very intricate electrical system, but the whole electrical pulse starts at the pacemaker. So something will disrupt your natural God-given pacemaker and keep it from working right, and the heart rate will slow down. So instead of 60 beats per minute or 70 or 80 beats per minute, it'll start to slow down to 50 or 45 or 40 or 30s.
Right.
And when you have that slow of a heartbeat, obviously you're not perfusing your brain with enough blood or the rest of your body with enough blood. So they'll insert a little man-made pacemaker to cause you to have more beats per minute. So Dr. Lee Cowden, who's an integrative, well, he's a conventional cardiologist by training. Now he's the head of the Academy of Comprehensive Integrative Medicine. He told me one day that all arrhythmias, which means irregular pacemaker or irregular electrical circuit issues with the heart, so that you have abnormal heartbeats, whether that's too slow or too fast, like atrial fibrillation or SVT, supraventricular tachycardia, anything that's wrong with your pacemaker, he said you first have to look at heavy metal toxicity, heavy metals like lead, which Harvard said is one of the leading risk factors for coronary artery disease. But lead, mercury, arsenic, aluminum, different heavy metals like that can disrupt your pacemaker. So that's one thing to look at. One of the primary sources of heavy metal toxicity is metal from the mouth and the silver fillings, dental amalgam fillings. So look at heavy metals. Do a heavy metal test, which most doctors don't know what this is, but functional medicine doctors would know how to do that. And you can't just take a blood test. These are toxic heavy metals, so the body does not let them float around in the bloodstream indefinitely. The body will store those heavy metals in your tissues. So if you check your blood, it's not in the blood. It's in the tissues, unless you had an acute exposure. If you just got exposed to, say, a bunch of lead, you know, a few hours later, if you drew your blood, you would find it, maybe up to a day or two later. But we're talking about chronic exposure. So this will be tissue levels. So to do that kind of test, you have to somehow test your tissues. And there's different ways to do that with a functional medicine doctor. So heavy metals, number one. Low magnesium would be number two. When there's not enough magnesium in the blood and in the cells, in the electrical circuitry cells of the body, it can lead to abnormal rhythms of your heart, including a slow rate. Another thing to consider is low thyroid. When there's not enough thyroid hormone, you could have a slow heart rate, and your doctor may want to go to the pacemaker. And he could check your blood test called the TSH, and it looks normal, and he might tell you, well, your thyroid's normal. But the TSH is not a very accurate marker for intracellular thyroid hormone levels, meaning the level of hormone inside your pacemaker cells, not in the blood, but inside your cells. So you really have to look at a T3 level, free T3 above a 3 or even closer to a 4. You've got to look at basal body temperatures. It's an indirect measure of your thyroid. And then you have to look at a thyroid symptom questionnaire. And then you have to have a really good exam to look at all the low thyroid symptoms. And if your exam and your questionnaire and your temperatures all say low thyroid, then it would be worth doing a trial of thyroid replacement for 30 days and see if your heart rate comes up. And I've had multiple patients where this was the case, and they avoided their pacemaker. But once you've already had a pacemaker put in, obviously you need to keep that in. You don't just take that out. You can still work on the root causes. You can still look at heavy metals and magnesium levels, intracellular magnesium levels, not blood levels. You can still look at their thyroid, and I would recommend you would do that. Unfortunately, most cardiologists aren't well-versed in this, and even your primary care doctor may not be if he's not been introduced yet to functional medicine. I didn't hear the first part of the question, but if it was something about blockages in the heart.
Yeah, I think something along the line of, you know, what are some of the best ways to, you know, to clean up arterial plaque and,
right.
And to, you know, keep that clean, basically, yeah. if you think you've got that going on. Now, I've done the calcium score, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Which, you know, showed that I didn't have anything going on there.
Yeah, but. And that looks at calcium, and that's one of the things that can be in the mix with coronary disease, and usually that's from not enough K2. K2 is a vitamin that comes from your gut bacteria. Most of our gut bacteria is highly compromised. But K2 is what will tell that calcium to go to your bone and go to your teeth instead of your arteries and be part of that plaque. But plaque is primarily made up of other stuff, too, and it's an inflammatory process. Kind of one of the easy quick fixes is kyloric garlic. That's K-Y-L-O-R-I-C, kyloric garlic. This is a supplement. There's been multiple studies done on this supplement, but it will stabilize the plaque in the coronary artery. So you can have some narrowing from plaque, some blockage there, and that's not really a big deal, you know. 80-90% of heart attacks comes from a ruptured plaque. So it's that unstable, inflamed, kind of like a pussy scab ready to just peel off and all that pus come out into your coronary artery, or like a pimple that pops and bursts. And that is what causes 90% of heart attacks, not this slow narrowing from the plaque, you know, going from 70% blockage to 80 to 90 to 100% blockage, then you have a heart attack. That's very, very few heart attacks that way. So really you want to focus on stabilizing that plaque, and the kyloric garlic does that. And it also dissolves some of the plaque. Your body will actually build or grow its own bypass. They're called collaterals. And you can encourage the growth of these collaterals or the bypass around your blockage by doing exercise, especially exercise with oxygen therapy. LiveO2, LiveO2.com is a great website that explains that concept. And you can get one of these machines at home, basically get a treadmill or a bicycle or an elliptical, and then you breathe 100% oxygen for 10 minutes while you exercise, and it encourages the growth of these collaterals. Lots of cool studies coming out with that.
Okay, let's go back to phones. I think she might have some clarification on that. Go ahead.
The way I understood my friend asking me, she lives in Mississippi, and she wanted to know what the doctors in Texas were talking about, either a defibrillator, or she had a fibrillation heart problem.
Okay.
An AFib.
Yeah.
Okay.
Atrial fibrillation is a very common irregular heartbeat. Basically, your heart has four chambers. There's two top chambers, two bottom chambers. The top chambers are called atrium. The bottom chambers are called ventricles. And so when that top chamber starts to just beat abnormally and out of sync with the bottom chamber, and it can start to cause that bottom chamber to beat really fast, and just so you just have this irregular out of sync heartbeat, but it's because of that pacemaker, your God-given pacemaker being out of whack. So same thing, heavy metals and low magnesium are the two things I look at first there. EMF sometimes will do it too, electromagnetic frequencies from Wi-Fi, from your internet Wi-Fi signals, or the new smart meters that are on the home. I had a patient who, when the smart meter got put on right outside her bedroom, she started having lots of AFib episodes, and when the smart meter was taken off, that went away. But those are things to look at. As far as a defibrillator goes, that's just the pacemaker is a device that'll keep your heart beating at a certain rate, like 60 beats per minute. So it'll keep it beating fast enough instead of too slow. But the defibrillator is kind of like when you see on those TV shows when someone's heart stops and they flatline on their EKG and they put the pads on them and they shock that, shock the patient, and it causes the heartbeat hopefully to come back alive and come back in normal rhythm. You can actually implant these defibrillators in a patient. And this same concept, if the heart goes into a deadly rhythm called ventricular tachycardia, then it can shock that heart and try to normalize that electrical circuit again to save that patient's life. So when you're talking about that, that's typically a pretty sick patient whose God-given pacemaker is really, really sick, and their electrical circuit's really out of balance. So, as far as...
Thank you.
Appreciate that call.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting, though, because a lot of people, you know, when they start having heart problems, they try to, okay, well, how do I, you know, they've identified it and having problems, but, you know, what can we do to get it back to, you know, rehab, I guess, for lack of a better word, on the heart? I mean, that's a tall order.
Well, there's some doctors in Colorado I've been learning from, and a pharmacist in particular, Walter Hayhurst, 74-year-old gentleman, but he tells his story. He was a brilliant pharmacist, did lots of good work throughout his career, brought bioidentical hormones into the United States from London back in the early 80s. But this gentleman, Walter Hayhurst, the pharmacist, was very, very, very sick. Lots of arrhythmias and a lot of others. He was gaining weight, type 2 diabetes, got cancer, all this kind of stuff. And then he met a functional medicine doctor and started working on root causes of inflammation, because all these things are inflammation-based, from cancer to diabetes to heart attack. And for him, what it was a toxicity, a mycotoxins. Mycotoxins are toxins that get put off by mold. People probably are familiar with toxic black mold, but there's thousands of different species of mold. And some people genetically are very susceptible to these mold toxins, and Walter Hayhurst was one of them. And once he figured that out and he cleaned up his environment, basically he made his bedroom a level one safe room. You know, like these compounding pharmacies have to have these areas they can mix IVs together, mix drugs together, and they have to be very, very sterile and very clean. So a lot of negative pressure and, you know, airflow the right way and the right filters and blah, blah, blah. Well, he made his whole bedroom one of these accredited safe rooms. And he immediately got 70% better. So he knew it was environmental at that point. I mean, his AFib stopped. So the environmental toxin he was dealing with was mycotoxin from mold. So occasionally it'll be, you know, a toxicity issue other than heavy metals. It can be from mold or some other environmental issue.
That's weird. How would you track that, though? I mean,
it's a process of elimination. Typically, these patients are the ones that are really sick with multiple different symptoms, from brain fog, fatigue, diabetes, cancer, but a lot of vague stuff. Could be IBS and the chronic fatigue and mood and depression, and just getting sicker year by year by year and going from doctor to doctor to doctor. And in conventional medicine, we kind of start calling these people doctor shoppers. I mean, they're just jumping from doctor to doctor, and they're never getting well, and some vague kind of stuff, pain and brain fog and fatigue, and no one can really put their finger on it. So these kind of patients who are kind of the non-responders, who've been everywhere, done everything, and when they come to us, we do our basic stuff, clean up the diet and do some basic hormone balancing, and they still don't get better. That's when we start to look at environment. And we'll do something kind of like Walter made his bedroom clean. We might send someone out to go live outside their home for a week, you know, go to a brand-new hotel, a clean place, somewhere to sleep. And if they notice improvement in that week of being out of their home, then we start to think about their environment. Or we'll test their environment. There's some different ways to test for mold and other toxicities.
What about chelation therapy? Would that help clean up anything or no?
I mean, chelation cleans up heavy metals, yeah. And if someone's heavy metal toxic, that's for sure what you need to do. No doubt about it. As far as other toxins, a lot of the binding agents, not the chelators like DMSA or EDTA, but just the binders like activated charcoal, bentonite clay, chlorella, humic, and fulvic, those are good binders no matter what your toxin is. But if you've got a lot of heavy metal in you and then you've got mold also or any other toxicity, it's hard to clear that. Well, it's hard to clear anything if you're overburdened with heavy metals. They disrupt so much your normal physiology. They disrupt your thyroid conversion, disrupt your insulin receptors so you become insulin resistant. They disrupt your mitochondria so you can't make ATP. You have no energy to detoxify or do anything. So, I mean, heavy metals are a real burden.
And how often are you seeing a lot more of this in your practice? Because we are surrounded by a lot of environmental toxins, and I would suspect that we're seeing, because maybe in years past, decade ago, 20 years ago, they didn't really think about that. But now that we are starting to kind of grab a clue on some of this stuff, we're seeing more of it. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for it more. So, yes, I'm seeing more of it. But I think it's been there. The docs that have been doing what I do for a lot longer than I've been doing it, when I talk to them at conferences and stuff, they talk about how it is worse, mainly with the glyphosate from the 1990s on. Glyphosate, which is Roundup, the quantity, the tonnage, the poundage of glyphosate being used on our foods is exponentially risen. So that's the big one they all talk about. The heavy metals have been around for a long time. They've tested bone levels of lead in cadavers or skeletons, skeletal structures from pre-industrial revolution, from 1,000 years ago versus current. And when you test these levels of these different time frames, 500 years ago, 700 years ago, you can see the rise of lead from the industrial revolution on. There's a direct correlation with industrial revolution and smelting all the metals. So really, from then on, I think the heavy metals have been in the environment just recirculating. I mean, the half-life of these heavy metals is extraordinarily long. So once they're into the environment, even though we've stopped lead-based paints, we've stopped the leaded fuels, we've limited lead in a lot of ways, the lead that was out there is still out there. I mean, just because we're not putting it in the paint, it doesn't just disappear. So it's in the soil, it's in the air, it's in the water. It kind of recirculates around China. China doesn't have the kind of regulations we do, so there's a lot of heavy metals like mercury coming out of there. Coal plants and other plants and factories, and that blows around the world. So we're just kind of recirculating all these heavy metals that we started using in the Industrial Revolution. So they've been around for a long time.
But they're more concentrated and heavy now, in the sense that China, which, by the way, was just, I think there was some products that had, I think the news a month or two ago talking about they'd sent some products over that were totally lead-based, and we here in America were taking their product going, hey, we can't, deal with that. But anyway, they do all kinds of weird stuff there, that's true.
Yeah, it's something to be aware of for sure.
Knowing that, what are some of the defenses against it? What can we do?
Your best defense is eat clean food, because that's something you're exposing yourself to every day. So try to eat food that's organic as best you can, as most you can. The Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen, look up those lists on the Environmental Working Group website, EWG.org, I believe. Just type in Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen. If you don't think you can afford organic food all the time, at least stick with those two lists, which the Dirty Dozen tells you the most polluted, dirtiest foods, so at least do organic on those, on that list. The Clean 15 are the foods that tend to be not that dirty or polluted, so you could buy those without the organic label. But that's the biggest thing, because you're eating three times a day. Most people are. So try to ingest clean food. The second thing is your home where you sleep. Try to make sure your mattress and your bedding, and you don't realize most people don't think about, I'm laying on this bed for 7 or 8 or 9 hours. And that's half your life almost. So get clean detergent, clean sheets, clean bedding. You don't want a lot of off-gassing from your mattress or sitting in chemical-laden sheets and bedding. So that's two quick, easy fixes. Clean water would be the next thing. Spring water, RO water, filtered water, get the chlorine out, get the fluoride out. And those are three pretty basic, easy steps. Now, as far as heavy metals, the mouth is absolutely the number one source of heavy metals, in my opinion, that I see in my patients. So first you have to start with a biological or holistic dentist who understands that the amalgam is not stable, that the metals are leaching out of the amalgam. If there's dentists listening today, they would be saying that guy's lying because the dentists are taught in school that it's a stable amalgam filling. So kind of like I was taught a lot of things in medical school, like type 2 diabetes is a chronic, irreversible, progressive disease when it's not. We're taught things that we think are true, and maybe originally we thought they were true, but now we know better because more truth has come out, more research has come out, more knowledge has come out. And so same in the dental world, now we know that the mercury leaches out of the amalgam. It's not stable. So that's by far and away, if you've got a source in your mouth constantly leaching mercury into your body, you've got to deal with that. There's no sense in trying to do some detox program and don't, you know, there's all kinds of detox programs out there, but I tell people all the time, it's great to detox, but you don't want to turn around and retox. You don't want to be reabsorbing all these toxins right back into you. So what's the point of doing some detox this weekend if you got a mouthful of metal and you're just right back to where you started on day one? But I'm trying to look up this International Association of Environmental Dentistry, IAOMT, I believe. Let me look this up and confirm. But they have all their research. They have lots of videos, educational tools. They have a list of dentists that know about this toxicity. Yeah, IAOMT.org. And you can find a biological dentist on there, and you can also just find a lot of information. You can just get educated because your everyday dentist won't know this kind of stuff. So it's up to the patient to get responsible and start getting educated. So a clean mouth, a clean bed, clean food, you get those three things done, clean water, you're well on your way. And the body's made to detoxify, but you've got to fill your pantry up with all the different vitamins and minerals that your detox pathways need. Your liver is super duper, it's a great filter, but it requires certain nutrients to be able to filter.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to fill your body up with the right vitamins and minerals, which is basically eat God food, not man food, that we've talked about all the time here, and let your body do what it does so well. Sweating is a great way to detox, so get in a sauna or just go exercise out in the sun and sweat a little bit.
That's a good way to do it. All right, we'll take a quick break here at the bottom and come right back with more with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Stick around.
Listen to your body. It may be telling you it's missing something. When we're missing omega-3s, we can feel run down, stiff, achy, or have a hard time focusing and handling stress. Omega-3s are vastly deficient in the American food supply, and we can't achieve optimal health without them. Nordic Naturals fish oils provide a convenient way to get the omega-3s you need and deliver industry-leading purity, freshness, and taste. Visit Natural Health Market at 4414 82nd Street in the Village Shopping Center.
Are you experiencing low back pain, neck pain, headaches, or pain as a result of an injury? Then let me introduce you to my chiropractor, Dr. Carla Haddock. Dr. Haddock has been practicing chiropractic care for many years, specializing in diversified treatment, drop table, cold laser therapy, and acupuncture. No expensive treatment plans, and your initial exam is free. If you're looking to improve your health and experience a pain-free lifestyle, then call Dr. Haddock at 239-7190. That's 239-7190. Call for your free initial exam today. Haddock Chiropractic is a proud sponsor of the morning health show, You're the Cure, with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on AM 580 Radio. Haddock Chiropractic, 239-7190.
Vitamins Plus is a full-line health food store located inside Drug Emporium on the corner of 82nd Slide Road. Right now, we have a very large selection of natural cold, flu, and allergy remedies. It's that time of year to build up your immunity to help you fight off this year's bugs. If we don't have it in stock, what you're looking for, then we can special order it. Texas owned and operated for over 20 years. Good for you groceries at great for you prices. That's Vitamins Plus inside Drug Emporium, 82nd and Slide Road. Get by and see us today.
We're visiting with Dr. Flippin with Exodus New Beginnings. You can always check out the website, exodusnb.com. Go there, check it out. Dr. Flippin, glad to have you on the show today. Tell us a little bit about supportive cancer care.
Well, basically, we just support the patient's immune system, and we do this with several different modalities. We use oxygen in the form of O3, so instead of two molecules of oxygen, we electrically force another molecule in. That's a potent anti-inflammatory. It also causes the patient to secrete tumor necrosis factor, so that helps kill the cancer cells. We also use high-dose vitamin C, which is a potent antioxidant, and also it has some anti-cancer properties. And then finally, we use high-dose vitamin B, different vitamin Bs, and those support the patient's immune system so that basically what happens is the patient's own immune system can fight the cancer a lot better.
And this is done intravenously, right?
Right.
Okay, and so the patient comes in, relaxed atmosphere, gets a full rundown of what's going to happen. Of course, there's some diagnosis that goes on in the first phase of this, but fully understanding, you know, what's going on, and then treatment takes place after that, right?
That's correct.
It's very, very interesting, and had a lot of success with this, I hear.
Yes, very, very successful. We have a patient that has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, expected to live 6 weeks, diagnosed in November, who's still going to work every day and feeling great.
Be sure to visit the new location at 7711 Woodrow Road. That's 7711 Woodrow Road, or call 863-3903. That's 863-3903. You can always visit the website, exodusnb.com.
Welcome back into You're the Cure, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right here on the show. If you have a question along the way about your health, feel free to give us a call, 745-5800, 745-5800. You can always text in that question as well, 806-745-5800. Of course, Veritas Medical, check out the website, veritasmedicalalloneword.com, or feel free to call our clinic, 771-1160, 771-1160. All right, so for the next half-hour block, what do you want to focus in on, Dr. Edwards?
Well, it's real hard not to talk about what happened this past weekend at the Gaylord Texan in Grapevine. 50 different speakers came together. Most of those are doctors. At Ty Bollinger's conference, sponsored by the truthaboutcancer.com, and it was called the Ultimate Live Symposium. And basically, Ty Bollinger brought together all these different doctors and practitioners, mostly from America, but some from outside the U.S., to just talk about cases of cancer that officially, in the conventional world, we'd have to call it spontaneous remission. But all these spontaneously remitted cancers in these patients happen to have one thing in common, and that one thing in common is they all did different things to boost their immune system aggressively through different modalities that these doctors implement. But it was just an amazing conference. I watched most of it online. I had one of my physician assistants, Debbie Hernandez, was live at the conference. A couple of my mentors spoke at the conference, but it was just an amazing group of these very dedicated physicians who love the truth, love patients, and have had patients with stage 4 cancers that have failed conventional therapy, have been told to go home on hospice, and these patients are alive today. And officially we'd call that a spontaneous remission, which is reported in the conventional medical literature. But again, the common theme with these patients is they went to one of these clinics and did some aggressive stuff to, like we've talked about earlier, detox the body, to give the right nutrients to the body, to support the liver in the right way. So all that could have been coincidental, but because you have to be careful about making any kind of claims, which that was a kind of sad part of the weekend. You see all these brilliant doctors up there who obviously, they're not liars, they're not quacks, they're not out for money. I mean, a lot of these guys, some of them their names have been smeared, you know, they've been called quacks, some even their license taken away, or they've had to move out of the country to practice. It's really sad. But the bottom line is they're not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. They're not gathering up here at the Gaylord for some conspiracy of that there's some natural way to cure cancer, but it's not the truth, you know. Mm-hmm. You just got to get past that. There are ways to support the immune system, ways to identify root causes of problems. I mean, if you can reverse type 2 diabetes, which it's quite clear that we can. I mean, Jason Fung, we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. Anybody out there with type 2 diabetes, just watch the YouTube video. Dr. Jason Fung, F-U-N-G, he's a nephrologist in Canada, and he very nicely and eloquently teaches and explains how diabetes is a reversible consequence of what you put in your mouth. It's not a progressive, incurable, chronic disease. You stop eating these carbs and you intermittent fast and your insulin resistance goes away. And insulin resistance is the cause of type 2 diabetes. So you deal with that cause, the smoke from the fire goes away because you put the fire out. You know, get rid of the insulin resistance, your blood sugar normalizes, you're off your medicines and your insulin, you no longer are type 2 diabetic. Same with cancer. I mean, if you can reverse type 2 diabetes, but, and I've said this before, that's the thing that got me into this, is when a doctor convinced me that you could reverse type 2 diabetes, and I was in Garza County, Texas at the county clinic. Half the patients were diabetic, and I thought, man, if this even worked on 10% of them, it'd be awesome. Turns out it worked on anybody who was committed, just about. But there are other quote-unquote diseases that were going along with diabetes, whether that be hypertension or arthritis or psoriasis, these other inflammatory processes would go away too. All this guy was doing was cutting his starch, his carbs, and his sugars out. And yeah, his blood sugar got better and the diabetic medications went away. But then so did his psoriasis medications and his arthritic medications. I gave a talk in Hobbs Friday night. I love Hobbs, a lot of great people there who love the truth. But there was a lady who gave a testimonial before my talk, and her psoriasis and eczema and asthma is all gone. And I never saw this lady. She listened to one talk that I gave and then got online and watched my videos and then watched some of Dr. Hyman's stuff and implemented it. And she doesn't have those problems anymore. It was awesome. I mean, all these talks, I'll go and tell them, I'm not here to drum up business. I don't need your business. I don't want your business. I mean, we'd be happy to see you, but we're pre-booked. And I'm not here to drum up business. I'm here to just tell you the truth. And you don't really need a doctor to implement this truth. And that lady stood up and explained how she's better from all these things and never saw us. And then at the end of the talk, a 70-year-old lady walked up to me, and this lady was just perky as could be and almost jogged up to me. And her husband started telling me their story, and she started crying, saying for 7 years she'd been on a scooter. Her diabetes was so bad, her pain was so bad. She couldn't sing anymore in the church choir because she always had this drainage going down her throat that disrupted her vocal cords, and she couldn't sing. And I forget all the other details, but basically she was miserable and she was dying. And same thing, she never came to see us. She heard a talk, listened to my talk, some friends helped encourage her and gave her some recipes. And she looked beautiful Friday night. And she's off her diabetes pills. Her knee arthritis, it was a 9 out of 10 on the pain scale, and she was set for a knee replacement surgery. And now she has minimal to no pain. She had been on the scooter for 7 years. She chunked the scooter. The husband said, yeah, we bought this $1,500 brand new scooter, and she doesn't even use it anymore. She sings in the choir. it's just so awesome that not just her diabetes and her obesity, but the blood pressure and the arthritis and, you know, all these other inflammatory processes go away. Well, cancer is the same thing. It's an inflammatory-based process. And the research shows 90 to 95% of cancer is diet and lifestyle-based, not genetic. So these are, it's like no one's connecting the dots in the conventional world because we're not allowed to, or we're not taught in school, or it's against the law, or whatever. But you, I got to be careful with how I word this, because the state medical board officially, surgery, chemo, and radiation are the only treatments for cancer. So you can't treat cancer any other way. So you can't say that I'm going to work on your diet to treat your cancer. So we don't. I don't do that, and none of these doctors do that, but you have to be very careful. What we're doing is supportive care, nutritional care, immune system stimulation or boosting, stuff like that. But it's so beautiful to see these patients who are hopeless with their cancer, and now their cancer is resolved, when they deal with a diet and lifestyle, which, again, 90 to 95% of the cause of cancer is diet and lifestyle. The research shows it, but the oncologists just haven't put it all together yet. But these guys at this conference from Ty Bollinger put it all together. So it was an amazing weekend.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi. I had a great discussion. We had that Dr. Toho talking yesterday about climbing. And a lot of people that don't believe it, they seem to be missing the definition of anecdotal. I realize that most all conventional medicine, I mean all scientific-based medicine, started out as anecdotal. Metformin is a great example. Some Indians chewing on a stick seem to make their symptoms go away. No clear idea about how it works, but it affects insulin resistance. But the definition between anecdotal and double-blinded random clinical trials is something we got to teach people.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes, I agree.
One person dumping their thing because they, you know, talking to Maurice Wade, you like this story. Wade had Maurice had his chest cracked 5 years ago. And he was bragging one time, we were in there getting a haircut, and he's bragging about how the grapefruit from the Pecos is this wonderful fruit, especially during drought time. And I said, I don't know. It seems like, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything, but it seems like if you got a cracked chest, you're on cardiac med, grapefruit is something to be cautious about. Right?
Right.
And sure enough, he's been banned from grapefruit. but anecdotal, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if political wonks understand the anecdotal, but the difference between those two, and I think it's why the field of functional medicine is growing, is because they're starting to get sort of really evidence-based things that there are variables, like the mercury and, or the amalgams. You know, some people are unbelievably sensitive to the little vapors. Other people don't bother at all.
Yep.
But you know, how you guys separate it, I have a lot of respect for it. Let me just say that. But helping educate some of the folks.
Okay.
Big deal.
I appreciate that call.
Yeah, you're right. Anecdotal.
That's interesting, though, but because what he said there at the end of the real quick was some are affected by it and some are not. Like, I could have mercury fillings in my teeth and no problem, but the next person be all sick and everything.
Yeah, and that's where you blend the science and the common sense. And same with the mold toxins we were talking about earlier, and that's why it's so difficult with the mold, because there will be four people living in the house that are totally well and fine and no problem, and this fifth person is sicker than a dog, and you're thinking, well, it could be your house, but you know the family thinks, well, of course it's not the house, or we'd all be sick. But that's where the genetic component comes in. There's some people that have certain genes, a genetic predisposition. What that means is there's a certain genetic type that just cannot handle that particular mold toxin. They can't detoxify it. They don't have the chemical step to deal with that. So it'll cause a lot of inflammation in that person. And the same with the mercury, like the caller mentioned. Some people have a gene that, or don't have the gene that allows them to detoxify that mercury. And that's across the board. There's these susceptibilities. Same with concussions. There's a ApoE. If you're a 4/4, pretty much you're guaranteed you're going to have Alzheimer's if you have one traumatic brain event, even a semi-concussion. We can do these genetic tests to tell you what you're predisposed to. You know, if I had a kid with ApoE4, he's not going to play football. Or if he is, he's going to wear some real specialized helmet that protects or diminishes the force vectors that would come onto his head. So looking at these genetics to see what you're most susceptible to is a good, and that's what Walter Hayhurst in Colorado and these doctors I've been learning from the past few months, they do that. They look at your genetics to tell you what kind of diet is better. There's not a one-size-fits-all diet. I mean, in general, you want to eat real food and not processed food. But some people need a little more fat. Some might need a little more protein. Some might need a little more carb, a healthy carb, not a processed highly enriched grain type carb. But there's a genetic test that can kind of give point you in that direction. They also do the genetic testing on the APOE4 to see if not just a concussion, but any brain trauma, which a brain trauma can be a toxic trauma. It can be the mercury fillings. So that's where you've got to blend the science and the common sense. And anecdotal, for those of y'all that don't understand, basically that's a personal testimony. You know, your neighbor did X, Y, and Z, and their blood pressure got better. For them, that's what worked. You could try that, and it may work, it may not work. But you stack up enough anecdotal stories, you get enough people, you get 10 people who ate a low-carb, high-fat diet, and 9 out of those 10, their blood sugar normalized in a month. You know, that's a pretty good clue to these testimonials, or there's something really true there that's probably across the board true. So that's when you go set up a specific study, this double-blind placebo-controlled trial. The problem in functional medicine is most of the things that we're looking at, because we understand the body heals itself, so the body's just missing some natural component, magnesium or whatever, some natural plant-based mineral or vitamin or phytochemical, or it's getting overexposed to some toxin. So to do a big randomized trial, there's got to be money. There's just a lot of financing involved in setting up a trial like this. And there's no money in natural substance. You're not going to turn around and make your money back. You know, if you were a drug company, you're doing a double-blind trial on a new drug that you have a patent on, and if there's any efficacy or the trial shows that there's some benefit, then you go mass-produce it and sell it and make a lot of money. But it's just not there. I mean, how are you going to make money if you prove that magnesium and potassium given in a particular supplemental form decreases blood pressure 10 points? You know, no one's doing those studies because there's not money in it. And that's really the whole problem with our medical industry. There's a whole lot of money in sick care. Lots of procedures, the pharmaceuticals, obviously. That's where the money's being made. When people start to get off meds, get off drugs, not need procedures, you know, the lady in Hobbs Friday night was set for a double knee replacement. Now she's not. She doesn't need a scooter anymore. She's off all those medications that cost her a whole lot of money. The money's going away, but where's it going? It's going to productivity. That lady's more productive now. She owns her own small business, and she's being more productive in her business. She's turning around and using that money, she told me, to buy cleaner food, buy from a local organic farmer who costs a little bit more than running to the grocery store and buying cheap food. So the money's getting shifted to other parts of our economy, but it's not really, the health dollars aren't staying in healthcare. So it's hard for people in healthcare, whether it be researchers or doctors, you know, to really go down this route because the money disappears.
Right, absolutely.
But the beauty of what we're doing is we try to convince patients it's worth paying us a little bit of money to help keep you well and to stay out of our office. And that's what the ancient Chinese used to do. They would pay the Chinese doctor every day that they were well, and they would quit paying that doctor the day they got sick. And for every day they were sick, they wouldn't pay him. So it's kind of the exact opposite of what we do here. We pay people when we're sick and not when we're well, so there's no incentive to keep you well. So it's a total shift of mindset and shift of the dollars, and it makes it a challenge for sure. But there are more and more studies. There's functional medicine studies. There's these trials going on. There's lots of data out there, even with the cancer. Dr. Tony Jimenez talked about some data that he published through UCLA. The problem is it doesn't get put out into the press. I mean, Dr. Stan Brzezinski's in Houston right across the street from the Texas Medical Center, and he's had a number of long-term remissions, 20, 30 years of glioblastoma, which is a brain cancer that's deadly. I mean, you'll be dead in 12 to 18 months. Every oncologist will tell you that. There's nothing they can do. I mean, they'll do stuff, but it's all, there's chemo, but it doesn't work. There's surgery, it doesn't work. There's radiation, it doesn't work. It may buy you a few more months. And the oncologist will tell you that. This is a terminal cancer. We can try some experimental stuff. It may extend your life, but there is no long-term documented survival from glioblastoma in conventional medicine. But there is documented long-term survival with glioblastoma with Dr. Stan Brzezinski. But he has a lot of his own money, so he's been able to defend himself in the courts, defend himself against the medical board. He's been able to publish a lot of studies. He's into phase 3 clinical trial now with FDA, and this has been an ongoing battle to have his clinical trials get through phase 1, phase 2, and now I think he's into phase 3. There's just been lots of delay, lots of obstacles and hurdles, and a lot of court cases and a lot of money, and he's got the personality and the money to see all this through. But not many people do. So it's a real challenge. And I wish we could get, you know, a medical school on board, but they've got to look at their budget. Everybody's got to feed their families, and everybody's got to have money from somewhere. And a lot of these budgets come from government agencies, government funding, pharmaceutical funding. I mean, to do all this research that these schools have to do, and the money and the grants that come with it. We've got to figure some way out. And Cleveland Clinic's kind of doing it with the Institute of Functional Medicine, but so it's happening. It's just a little bit of a slow pace, but conferences like this weekend, when you have 1,000 people show up and pay $1,000 and you have 50 doctors and they're just case after case after case and protocol after protocol after protocol and slide after slide after slide that shows all these great tools that you can use. I mean, Dr. Jimenez talks about sonophototherapy, which sounds foreign, and there's not an oncologist, I don't think, in America that would know about this. But basically, he has some devices that emit sound waves and different light frequencies. And these, the harmonics, the frequencies, the resonance of these things destroy cancer cells. We know that hyperthermia does this, but it does it in a safe way. Radiation obviously will kill cancer cells too, but it kills all the cells around it, all the collateral damage, where hyperthermia is very targeted and can be very beneficial. So all these kind of alternative therapies, but they're good and they're proven outside of this country, but it's just hard to get them approved here. But listen, Dr. Jimenez talk, and I'll show all the cases. I mean, even kids with leukemia. It's just amazing. It warms your heart. And he talks about this little 7-year-old boy he treated, and now the boy's, I forget how old, but sees Dr. Jimenez regularly and gives him a big hug and a big kiss every time he sees him, because there's no more sign of the leukemia. But the common theme in all these guys this weekend at the conference, just about all of them, was the emotional component of cancer. They all talked about unforgiveness, that if a patient can't deal with that, they usually don't get well. It was really, really interesting to see all these guys presenting all this amazing technology, talking about even the food and the science of food. There was a doctor talking about insulin, how the cancer cells upregulate the insulin receptors on cancer cells. So a cancer cell is going to have 10 times more insulin receptors or keyholes, because the cancer cell needs that sugar, needs glucose, and insulin's the key that opens the door to allow sugar or glucose into the cell. And cancer cells, they're hoarders for glucose. They want to be a magnet or suck that glucose up. So they put more insulin receptors onto that cell. So there's some therapies you can do because of that. You can use that trait of a cancer cell in your favor. So you eat a ketogenic diet, which is a high fat diet and a very low carb diet, and there's no glucose around for the sugar or for the cancer to eat. With all those insulin receptors on the cancer cell, you can give the patient an IV bolus of insulin, and that insulin is going to go right to that cancer cell and drop the glucose, the blood glucose level, substantially. And then, because that cancer cell has so many insulin receptors, you can give just a little bit of chemo, and it'll have an effect on that cancer cell more than it will on your normal cells, because of the amount of insulin receptors on that cancer cell. There's so many more insulin receptors that bolus of insulin makes the insulin makes the cancer cell more permeable. It kind of makes it real leaky and allows that chemo to get right into it. So you can have the good benefit of chemo, kill the bad guys without so much collateral damage to your good guys. So they were presenting all this science that was just awesome in these cases of long-term remission, but they all came back to emotions and unresolved emotional conflict as being, in some of their estimations, the root cause of cancer. It was fascinating.
Wow.
And they've pretty much all turned into strong believers, too. Christian believers in a creator and in God, and when you start to read the Bible with this mindset of unforgiveness, and you see what the Word says about it, and you start to put it all together, it's like it's almost impossible to get far enough down this road of oncology, integrative oncology, and see the body heal itself and not understand there's an intelligent design behind it, there's a creator behind it, and there's a book that is basically the instruction book of life of how this human body and human mind and soul and spirit is meant to operate fully and well and long. And so all these guys have a strong faith, and it's a big part of their programs to try to help people get over their cancer with all this supportive care and nutritional care and these different therapies. So,
wow.
Just an exciting weekend. Gave me a lot of hope, and I think everyone there had a lot of hope that even though our world seems to be going, you know, south very fast, faster with each presidential debate, it seems like. but there's a group of people out there that are fighting the good fight and seeing amazing positive results, and they're banding together and creating a community that's doing the right thing. It's awesome.
The question will be is how long will it take before some of these methods start reaching the orthodox medicine side of the equation and actually being taught in medical school?
I don't know.
A long time.
There's a lot of hurdles, a lot of roadblocks, mostly money-based. So I don't know. I think we're going to have to... Basically, the clinics that are going to be all these functional medicine clinics around the country that are popping up like ours, maybe we'll be able to band together and form some hospital network or some cancer, you know, clinic network and feed that with patients and somehow support each other because none of this is covered by insurance, or just have international clinics, you know, have something, you know, one of the doctors talked about buying these offshore oil rigs that are abandoned. they're 10 or 12 miles off the coast, so they're in international waters, and you can do things that FDA hadn't approved. Or having a clinic in the Bahamas or somewhere. I mean, they're already there in Mexico, but I don't know. I don't have the vision for how this is going to implement, but it starts with one patient, one at a time, dealing with inflammation by getting to the root of the inflammation. And so you start with, like I did, with the diabetics. And you start with the gut, and you get the inflammation, the insulin down, and the body just starts to heal. So it becomes where there's just this tidal wave, and I think we're kind of approaching it. There's enough sick patients getting sicker in conventional medicine. And all these doctors this weekend kept saying, you know, talking about their colleagues who haven't taken the step into functional medicine, basically calling them out, saying, guys, come on, you're stuck in the, like we'd say, stuck in the 80s, you know, in technology world. If you're still using a flip phone or a landline or one of those box portable phones, I mean, you'd be laughed at. Or I'm using some big old out-of-date, you know, desktop computer. I mean, that's such the 80s, that's such the whatever. I mean, we are so past this one drug for every symptom and this pharmaceutical-based approach to medicine. That's old medicine. That's old, worn out, tried but failed. It's time to move on. And there's enough doctors out there doing it now. There's enough published data. It's out there. You haven't been told where to look for it, but it's out there. There's conferences every weekend. I mean, I could go to a conference every single weekend from now till next year. A functional or integrative conference, whether it be about cancer or diabetes or whatever, digestive issues, autoimmune. I mean, Amy Myers down in Austin wrote a book, The Autoimmune Solution. There's so many of these books coming out from functional medicine doctors with case after case after case. And yeah, it's all anecdotal, but enough are getting put together now that they are publishing real scientific studies. But I encourage these doctors to remember what's the original definition of evidence-based medicine, because there's three parts to that definition, and we just remember the part about your medical practice being, or your recommendations being based off of randomized controlled clinical trial peer-reviewed published data. That's one part of the definition. The other two parts are use or your patient's values or expectations. You have to practice consistent with and with respect for the patient's wishes, values, and expectations. The other part of it is in accordance with the doctor's own experience. So the patient's expectations and preferences, the doctor's clinical experience, and the evidence-based research published studies, all three. But those evidence-based clinical trials have to defer to the doctor's experience, and the doctor's experience has to defer to the patient's wishes.
Right.
You know, if a Jehovah's Witness comes into the ER bleeding out, and obviously the doctor's experience says, I got to give them blood, and the evidence in the paper shows it too, in the scientific paper. But if the patient says, no, I don't want to do that, then you don't do it. So we've got to remember to respect the patient's wishes, and don't be scared of your own clinical judgment too, based off your own experience. Now, like mine with psoriasis, we've seen so many cases of psoriasis improve or resolve with dietary changes. I can't. It would be malpractice for me to ignore that and for me to not give informed consent to my patient that this is what I have experienced in my clinic and my patients. So the whole concept of informed consent too. You know, doctors really, I don't think, give completely informed consent anymore because they're not fully informed. So there's just a whole lot here, but I think we're headed in the right direction, and doctors like, and that online conference this weekend, the ultimate, or just go to the truthaboutcancer.com, and you can order the DVD of the weekend conference. I think it's on sale right now for 50% off also. But Ty Bollinger, we'll try to get him on the radio. I've interviewed him before on another radio show, so we'll try to get him on in the coming weeks. He's a great guy, a lot of great experience. He's traveled the world talking to doctors around the world that have treated cancer integratively.
That'd be good. All right, Dr. Edwards, we appreciate that. Of course, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Everybody, again, check out VeritasMedical.com, VeritasMedical.com, all one word. The number to our clinic, 771-1160.